Dell. The farmers watched in vain, filled with tears and pain, as the bullets went flying in. Oh, what a price to pay, pay for this land of Palestine. I was a grapevine in Palestine, where I lived with a family on a farm. I was a grapevine in Palestine, where I lived with a family on a farm.
Allah, ya Allah, show us your mercy, ya Allah, ya Allah.
Independent, independent and true to you. This is Markaz Sahaba News.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your news for the hour. The date today is the 21st of Dhul Qa'dah 1446, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 20th of May 2025. Five trucks of aid went into Gaza yesterday, but the repeat is on, and that is just a drop in the ocean. Further, it was said, although the aid lorries have crossed into Gaza, they are just on the other side of the border and haven't even yet reached the communities. Fears are 14,000 babies will pass away in the next 48 hours if supplies do not reach them. This is said all by UN Humanitarian Chief Tom Fletcher, who spoke to the BBC radios for today's program and had said in the joint statement from the UK, France and Canada, in robust words, it is a dialing up of collective humanitarian situation, he said. The US has lost the highest rating from all three major rating agencies as Moody's downgraded its credit rating due to its high debt level and widening budget deficit, which is expected to worsen bond market conditions. Further, it was stated the US faces a $36.2 trillion debt, and this represents 122% of the country's annual economic output or gross domestic product, as well as it is growing by about $1 trillion every 3 months. A Moscow court yesterday fined U.S. tech giant Apple $7.5 million, and this is equivalent to $93,000, for violating Russian laws against spreading LGBTQ propaganda. This was your news for the hour. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
I was a grapevine in Palestine, where I lived with a family on a farm. Every day before dawn, the roosters would call before Fajr Salah was performed. Then labor and toil in the field sowing seed, we would witness the farm transform. I was a grapevine in Palestine, where I lived with a family on a farm. Then the day came, I will never forget, when they pulled our roots from the soil. They slashed every vine, and they chopped every tree, every chicken inside they killed. I was a grapevine in Palestine, and I have a story to tell. The farmers watched in vain, filled with tears and pain, as the bullets went flying in. Oh, what a price to pay, pay for this land of Palestine. I was a grapevine in Palestine, where I lived with a family on a farm. I was a grapevine in Palestine, where I lived with a family on a farm.
Allah, ya Allah, show us your mercy, ya Allah, ya Allah.
Markaz Sahaba Online Radio hereby invites you to attend the Nikah program. The venue is the airwaves of Markaz Sahaba Online Radio. The time of the Nikah program will be from 10 to 10:30 a.m. every Friday. To RSVP your announcement on Markaz Sahaba Online Radio, send your Nikah announcements on 084-786-3132. Share your special occasion with us and the rest of the world. Markaz Sahaba Online, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah.
پیکر علم و صدق و صفا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تو پیکر علم و صدق و صفا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تو اہلیا محبوب خدا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تو اہلیا محبوب خدا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تو پیکر علم و صدق و صفا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ یہ میرا قلم یہ میری زبان کیا شان کریں گے تیری بیان یہ میرا قلم یہ میری زبان کیا شان کریں گے تیری بیان قرآن ہے تیرا مدح سرا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ قرآن ہے تیرا مدح سرا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تو اہلیا محبوب خدا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تو پیکر علم و صدق و صفا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ کیا کہنے ہیں تیری رفعت کے کیا کہنے ہیں تیری عظمت کے کیا کہنے ہیں تیری رفعت کے کیا کہنے ہیں تیری عظمت کے ماشاء اللہ ماشاء اللہ صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ ماشاء اللہ ماشاء اللہ صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تو اہلیا محبوب خدا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تو پیکر علم و صدق و صفا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ ہم کیوں نہ کریں تیری عزت اولاد ہے تیری یہ امت ہم کیوں نہ کریں تیری عزت اولاد ہے تیری یہ امت سب جانتے ہیں ماں کا رتبہ صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ سب جانتے ہیں ماں کا رتبہ صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تو اہلیا محبوب خدا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تو پیکر علم و صدق و صفا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ یہ بات تو عین حقیقت ہے قدموں میں تیرے جنت ہے یہ بات تو عین حقیقت ہے قدموں میں تیرے جنت ہے جو تم سے ہٹا دو زخم گرا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ جو تم سے ہٹا دو زخم گرا صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تو اہلیہ محبوب خدا صدیق کی بیٹی
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ اہلا وسہلا ومرحبا بكم اینڈ ویلکم ٹو دا مڈ مارننگ شو وتھ مائی سیلف برادر سلیمان یوسف ایوری ٹیوزڈے وینزڈیز اینڈ تھرسڈیز بٹوین 10 اینڈ 11 اے ایم ٹوڈے بین دا 21st آف ذو القعدہ 1446 کورسپونڈنگ ٹو دا 20th آف مے 2025 Alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning. The sun is out. It's a bit nippy in the mornings. But Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala blesses us with, you know, with that heat. And you know, the heat of the sun is so dangerous and the solar flares. But Allah Ta'ala has protected us with so many atmospheres and so many layers to protect us from the heat of the sun. You know, that's one of the ni'mas that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu wa laka shukru kullu. Inshallah, we're going to be crossing over to our brother Alphas in Kosi, and he's going to be giving us the lowdown as to what's going to be happening during his show between 12 and 1 p.m. And brother Alphas, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Suri. I'm very well, thank you, my brother. I hope you are too.
I'm very well, thank you. So, Alphas, tell us what's happening in and around the country and in the world.
Well, today I think we all know that, you know, what's making headlines is all the visits. The Ramaphosa visits to the Oval Office, I mean, his delegation with Joe Stienhagen among them as part of the delegation. And of course, you know, we're going to look at that into detail. Details analysis into Ramaphosa's visit to Trump. They're very excited and expecting that, look, they received a call from Donald Trump to say, okay, fine, come, let's talk. And for the mere fact that Donald Trump called them to say, let's come, let's sit down and talk. So it gives them more advantage, and I think the delegations are very happy. They're very, very excited about the visit. But, I mean, as I stated earlier on, that knowing Donald Trump, that is a transactional name. You don't just negotiate with Donald Trump. What is it that he's looking for? What is in the back of South Africa's delegation to the United States? What are they going to give to Donald Trump in order for us to carry on with our bilateral and trade with the United States of America? And then, of course, and later on, we look at the budget speech. I mean, Finance Minister Inokodomwane, tomorrow, he'll be telling the budget speech, they call it 3.1. I mean, the budget speech is going to be tabled while both the president and the deputy president are abroad. Ramaphosa won't be there. Paul Mashatile won't be there. He's in France. He's meeting with Emmanuel Macron. So it's a bit of, you know, a challenging one, but as far as possible, one of the kind, looking at the budget going to be tabled without the president in the House. Yeah, so we'll take previews of the budget speech, what's to be expected from the budget speech as well. So that's basically that's the show.
Thank you so much for your time, Brother Alphas. We hope to catch you a little bit later on during the day. Thank you so much for giving us an insight and a throw forward for the show. You take care and we'll catch up with you later.
Thank you very much, Sule. You too. Thanks.
Thank you. Cheers, bye. And that was Brother Alphas in Kosi, and he was going to give us our show. That's later on during the course of the day between 12 and 1. And that is the news hour with Alphas in Kosi. As you know, a lot of emotions run through when you go to the airport. And now we are almost at the doorstep of the month, the Mubarak month of Dhul-Hijjah. We just got about 9 days, all depending on the sighting of the moon. And a lot of emotions go through when you actually go for Hajj. You know, your family's come to the airport. If it's your first Hajj, you know, it's something new that you're going for. If you haven't been out of the country, you are leaving your family behind. You know, one of the Hajianis, when they went for Hajj, an elderly couple, and Allah Ta'ala had taken her soul in the Mubarak lands of Madinat al-Munawwara. How blessed is she that on the day of Qiyamah she's going to be rising up with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, one of the first people will be are the people of Jannatul Baqi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all the marhumin the Jannatul Firdaus and grant the families a sabrun jameel. Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. My dear respected listeners of Marakah Sahaba, the deen of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with its timeless. And Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, the noble Quran, Wal Asr, Allah Ta'ala takes a time, takes a qasam on the time, says Wal Asr, Innal insana lafi khusr. Indeed, mankind is at a loss. You know, instead of doing futile things, this world is but a temporary abode for us. Our permanent abode and what we hear in this world is to strive for the akhirat, to attain Jannatul Firdaus A'la, to give us, to ask Allah Ta'ala to take our life on a good ending. Khatimul Hasana, take our life on a good ending in a good place. And we should attain and try and fill our bank accounts for the akhirat. Try to do the a'mal, make a dhikrullah. Allah Ta'ala says in the noble Quran, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'inul qulub. Verily the zikr, the remembrance of Almighty Allah brings closeness and contentment to the heart. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Asr, except for those who have believed and done righteous deeds, those who have believed and done good deeds and had advised each other. You know, every day we are using this platform to give out advices. We are blessed, we are so blessed to have such ulama ikram amongst our midst that they are giving us advices on a daily basis. There are different masajids, different khankas that are giving advices. Why? Not for their own being, but to keep us and to remind us that this world is a temporary abode. We need to strive for the akhirat. We need to strive and build up our good deeds. Because when we are buried and when they put our body into the qabr, there's nothing we're not going to take anything with us but except our good deeds, our good actions that will protect us. Our salah will come as a shield in front of us. Sadaqah will come in front. You know, all your good deeds, your actions are going to be, will come in a form of a good person and it will sit and protect you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us and save us from the adab of the qabr, from the punishment of the qabr. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with such a beautiful deen and we are so fortunate to be part of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have important months during our Islamic calendar. We have Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, Dhul Hijjah, the 4 months. But our deen is not a seasonal deen, or is not the time when we need to do certain actions and certain a'mal in those specific times. We need to continue during the whole year. We need to strive every day. We need to work on ourselves every day, like wake up in the morning. Or before you go to bed, forgive those that you have hurt. Forgive those that hurt you. And go to sleep with a clean heart. Don't hold any grudge. Because we don't know if you're going to see the next day. And we go to bed with a heavy heart to say, you know what? ABC 123 did me wrong. If you don't forgive the person, how is Allah Ta'ala going to forgive? We sin on a daily basis. Yet Allah Ta'ala does not expose our sins. Allah Ta'ala is Al-Ghafoor. Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving. Allah is Ar-Rahman. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Every day in our salah we read, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Every day we implore Allah. We beseech Allah. We call out a beautiful name. You know, in the beginning, the 99 names of the Asma'ul Husna. Allah, Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus. Allah Ta'ala is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and if we don't have, we don't forgive the next person, then how do we expect Almighty Allah to forgive us? We beseech Allah Ta'ala during the month of Ramadan, in the 10 days, the last Ashura, we read the dua. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna ya kareem. Ya Allah, you love to forgive. Ya Allah, you forgive us. Forgive all our major sins and minor sins, Ya Allah. We are sinners. We sin on a daily basis. But we think that nobody is watching us. If Allah Ta'ala can provide for the darkest and under the darkest rock, in pitch black, in the night, in the darkest of nights, Allah Ta'ala still provides and hears that hand. What makes you think that Allah Ta'ala will not hear us? Allah Ta'ala is closer to us than our jugular vein. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran that He Allah Ta'ala is closer to us than our jugular vein. He loves us more than our mothers. Allah Ta'ala wants us to turn to Him. Pick up our hands and say, Ya Allah, I have done wrong. Ya Allah, you forgive me. Allah Ta'ala wants us. Allah Ta'ala gets happy when you lift your hand up and you ask Almighty Allah that, Ya Allah, forgive me. Rabbi gfirli wa rahamu anta khayru rahimin. Rabbi gfirli, Rabbi gfirli. And this time, the deen is not a specific season or time, and it only applies to certain seasons. And when a person feels that he can turn to Allah whenever he pleases, it's for all times and all people. And likewise, the certain a'mal and actions are done in these specific times. But the message and the lesson of those a'mal are timeless. Look how Ramadan teaches us that it brings us closer to the Quran. Why can we not be with that same effort out of the month of Ramadan? We strive, we try to finish the Quran in the month of Ramadan, we try to make one khatam, try at least to make one khatam during the month of Ramadan. Why can we not continue that day after the month of Ramadan? We're going to work on it, inshallah. Make dua that Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq and the hidayat to move forward, to try and become better Muslims. The very great ibadah that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with is the ibadah of Hajj. Even though that we have not undertaken the Mubarak journey of Hajj, but Allah Ta'ala gives us such an opportunity that we imitate Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and all the hujjat that go when it comes for the day of Eid. We slaughter that, we sacrifice the animal. Why? Because we are practicing or imitating the teaching of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And we appreciate the days of Hajj because it is such a Mubarak days. Those days are so Mubarak. You know, some Hujjaj have already left, like now they've gone for the past 2 weeks, Hujjaj have already left. But the lessons of Hajj are for us all as well. We make dua for them. That, you know, when you go to the airport or we see family members, we say, we go to you, you are going to the Mubarak lands. Remember us in your duas. Remember me in your duas. And if you remember, pass our salams to our beloved Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can derive a lot of an inspiration about how or what has been mentioned about Hajj. And what are the benefits of Hajj? And those are the lessons that we need to take to heart. We need to look at what was the purpose of Hajj? Why was Hajj mentioned? Hajj is one of the pillars of Islam. Hajj is one of the five pillars of Islam. Once in our lifetime, we should make that effort, conservative effort, to save up and try. You know, the intention in the a'mal bin niyat. Verily, our intention, our action is based on our intention. If we want to do something, we read 2 rakat salat. We ask Allah to help us in whatever we need to do. We made the dua. We made the intention. Now we say, Hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakil. Ya Allah, I leave my affairs in your hand. Allah Ta'ala says, if you make that effort, I will assist you. Allah Ta'ala says in the noble Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجٌ وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Those who have faith and tawakkal in Almighty Allah, Allah Ta'ala will bless them and open up a road for them where they could not imagine how it happened. Why? You made that intention. You had that firm faith, that firm tawakkal in Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala will never burden a person which is not going to handle. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah Ta'ala will never burden a soul in which they cannot handle. And the lessons that we learn from Hajj, we need to implement it into our lives. We need to see from a Hujjaj's perspective, and you know, we need to go deeper into the lessons of Hajj. Patience, perseverance. When you go for Hajj, you are not amongst your family members or your friends that you are there at home, but rather you are amongst different types of people, different colors, different shapes, and different personalities. And we don't know how they will react to you. You are going to a foreign land, and you are going to be amongst millions and millions of people. You have to have sabr. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Verily, Allah Ta'ala is with the patient one. If you have that patient, bear patience, you know, before you leave for Hajj, they tell you, you must have 10 bags of sabr, 10 bags of patience. And these lessons need to be refreshed in our hearts and our minds, and to reflect how much has this become part of our lives. We speak about patience, but here, when you're at home, do we have that patience with our fellow colleagues? Do we have patience with our fellow members? You see the people that are driving on the road. Do we have patience with them? No, we don't have patience with them. So we need to understand that when you go for Hajj, you're going to come across different people, and you need to have that sabr. You can't be fighting. You can't be doing all these things, because now you are in a haram. You're in a Mubarak place. It's not a place for fighting. Rather, keep your lips and moist with the zikr and the remembrance of Almighty Allah. Make astaghfar, read Durood Sharif. You know that your salat is multiplied so many times in Madinatul Munawwara, Masjid and Makkatul Mukarrama. Take advantage, make ibadat, read two rakat of the salat. Because we don't know if we will ever get a chance to go to Madinatul Munawwara and Masjid and Makkatul Mukarrama. We don't know if you're going to visit that place again. That's why we need to take advantage. We don't know if this is going to be our final Hajj, and if Allah Ta'ala is ever going to call us again. But we make dua that, Ya Allah, call us to your house again and again. Because once you get the taste of that sweetness, that ibadah that you make in the Mubarak lands, it is something that you yearn for on a daily basis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and understanding what has been said, and make me maaf if I have said anything wrong. If I said anything wrong, it's from shaitan. If it's anything good that comes out, it's from Almighty Allah. Hajj is once in a lifetime, and it is fard. Once a person enters into the state of ihram, a person should avoid any futile talk. All these things that you have in conjugal rights when you're in ihram is all haram. Because now you're in a state of purity. You should avoid all idle talks. All these things you need to, because now you're in ihram. It is a symbolization of, you know, when they cover you, when you pass away, they cover you in the two pieces of cloth. Even when you go to Mina, when you're sleeping in the tents, it is as though the way they make the tent is as though you are sleeping next to the person. There's no space to move and no space to move from left to right. That's how cramped, not wouldn't say cramped, but that's the feeling that you have, that you are laying there in Mina, and they call it tent city. You know, it's a symbolization. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, inshallah, to understand what has been said. Inshallah, we're going to go for a small break, and then inshallah we will be listening to a small lecture on the importance of Hajj, inshallah.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
चुटकी है माटी पे बिखर जाएगा, जैसे गुजरे जैसा भी तू भी गुजर जाएगा, खाक की चुटकी है माटी पे बिखर जाएगा, तेरे पीछे भी जमाने के बड़े गम होंगे, तेरी शोहरत के बसाने भी कभी गुम होंगे, तेरी दौलत भी तेरे काम नहीं आएगी, तेरी ताकत भी तुझे छोड़ चली जाएगी, जैसे गुजरे सभी तू भी गुजर जाएगा, खाक की चुटकी है माटी पे बिखर जाएगा, जैसे गुजरे सभी तू भी गुजर जाएगा, खाक की चुटकी है माटी पे बिखर जाएगा, ना ही शोहरत न कहीं तेरा फसाना होगा।
Listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
من شرور أنفسنا. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. Allah Tabarakala in this verse speaks about the great farz, which is the farz of Islam, known as the farz of Hajj. And normally it's not a habit to discuss Hajj in an open gathering,
because it was always understood that this Hajj will only apply to the person who's going for the Hajj.
So you would have a small gathering, you would call the people who are going from the community, from the area, because they're the only people who are going. As for the rest of the people, you rather speak about qurbani. You are going to be left in the country. You must slaughter. The second is, normally in an open gathering, there is a gathering of the rich and the poor. So it's obvious that the rich have already made Hajj. And as for the poor, Hajj is not farz on them. So it is not something to speak about. So this is how also we would view the issue. Until a time came where I sat with some people amongst who were very, very wealthy. And the child of one person started explaining to me about his different holidays and different vacations in the different holidays, and in which country his father has already taken him. So just like a passing thought, and I asked him, and how many times you went for Umrah? And then he looked up to me and said, what's that? So I said, Makkah. And he said, no, what's there? It was a shock to me, but for him, it was like, I checked up on the internet and there's nothing there really. What is there? But just that one thought maybe that was planted in that boy's mind, when the father did come back to the table, the boy asked his father, Daddy, what about Makkah? And thereafter, I left the conversation, but a while later on, the news did reach me that they finally made an Umrah in their life. At that time when we were discussing this year, someone said very nicely that it is not every rich person that can go for Hajj or Umrah. It is when a call is made from Almighty Allah, then you are going to go. But that call will only be made when the person shows, I want to be called. So one purpose of this in an open gathering is for the rich person who never ever thought about this, then he should start thinking about it. To get called to the house of Almighty Allah is a unique thing. But if you don't ask to be called, Allah Tabarakala is وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ. That if that man shows an indifferent attitude, Almighty Allah can also show. As for the poor, we always thought that Hajj is not for the poor. But unique is the verse of Quran, Allah Tabarakala said, مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ السَّبِيلَ. For the one who can somehow find the path towards it. That word in the Arabic language shows that a little difficulty, a little perspiration. It is not for the one who's wealthy. And he got that money set aside. And now the time comes and he says, let's go for Hajj. Hajj is an issue about a little bit of effort from man's side. Mani istata'a. And when this little effort is made, it results in very big things. When we had graduated, then we spent some time in the company of Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah. So on one occasion, his grandson delivered a bayan. Speaking to many poor people of Pakistan, he said to them, that how many people have already gone for Hajj on the advice of my grandfather? And I will give you that advice now. He said, my grandfather would say to the people, do not wait for the money to come to go for Hajj. He says, every month take out from your money something, saying that this money is to take me for Hajj. He says, the one who starts saving today will one day go. And the one who waits for the money to come, it will never come. How many poor already went, he said, who started taking out? My brother Maulana Imran, a while ago, he prepared an article on Hajj. So he added this in his article on this very point. It was an article that had come in an Indonesian newspaper in the year 2015. They said the good news has reached that an 84-year-old grandfather, Mi'an, is finally going for his Hajj. So they asked this person that what is this like highlight in your life? So he says, as you know, my whole life I did no other job except sweeping the streets, a street sweeper. He says, every day from my salary, I would take out, and he gives an amount which equals to plus minus 20 cents. Every day from my salary, about 20 cents I would take out and put under my pillowcase. Then after about a month or so, when the pillowcase would get heavy, I would transfer it to a sack. At the end of every month, I would add a further, that further becomes like 50 cents. So 20 cents per day. This is not speaking about like 100 years ago. This person's earnings at that time was $30 per month. And to go for Hajj, he needed about $4,000. But look at the small amount that he took out. Because when you speak about dollars, we all know 4,000. Otherwise, a lot of people will think maybe Hajj in that era was cheap. So he needed $4,000. And every day he said, taking out 20 cents. And then further 50 cents at the end of the month. He says, the time came where I counted what I got and it was $4,000. When was that? When he had reached the age of 84. So I took it to my friend and I said, do you think this will be enough to take me for Hajj? He said, all the preparations were made. I'm ready to go for my Hajj. So on that, the person wrote a nice article, or a nice natija, khulasa, result, summary. He says, when it comes to wealth, our biggest asset and our biggest obstacle is our own mind. If you think you can't, you will never. That was a very unique statement made. That if a person sits today and he says, I know what I earn, and I know my debts, I know how much I have to pay for different expenses, I'm not going. He says, if you think you can't, you will never. The way they wrote it is, if you think you can't, you write. Meaning you're not going. It was very close to the words of a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Almighty Allah says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I will deal with my servant as he thinks of me. So if a man feels I can't make it, you're not going to make it. And then they wrote, and if your mind says you can, then remember that even a street sweeper can go for Hajj. May Allah Tabarakallah put it in all our hearts. One is the thought that I can also go. And from today to say, I will take out a small amount. And every month that thing must be put one side. Two things it will create within a person's mind. One is a connection with the house of Allah will be continuous. Even if you remain for the next 30 years not going for Hajj, every time you take that money out, your heart will be making a Hajj. The connection with the house of Allah will be established. Perhaps one day you will go for Hajj. But perhaps one day you will find rewards of many Hajjs. One Hajj, but the reward of many. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let me explain to you how the world system works. And then he gave different categories of people. Amongst the categories, he said, there's a very rich man. Allah gave him wealth and gave him knowledge. So using his knowledge, he applies his wealth in many good avenues. He then said, there's another man who doesn't have that amount of wealth, but Allah gave him this knowledge. This knowledge could be on various aspects. This knowledge is here, one knowledge. He says, using his knowledge, he says, that had Allah given me wealth, I would have also done this. This is also knowledge. To understand the power of intention. Using his knowledge, he says, had Allah given me wealth, I would have also done this, this, this. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he will equal the other in reward. So there will be one man who got a lot and you see him going for Hajj. Don't just let it pass. But using the knowledge Allah has given us, let us say that, oh Allah, if it was possible, if there was no barrier, they were leaving for the battle of Tabuk. It was one of the most difficult battles in the history of the beginning part of Islam, in the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were those who wanted to go, but they came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quran described them, they had a tear in their eye. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a tear in his eye because he did not have something to give them so that they could go out. There was no animal, and now he could not tell others share because too many were sharing. So there was a group that had to stay behind, but their hearts like broke on hearing that we are not going out. It painted a picture of how someone must feel who has never gone for Hajj. And he sees somebody else going for Hajj. And he looks at that thing and he must feel that if only I also could be moving on this path. In appreciation of that feeling of this group, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the battle, on the way, there was no battle in the ending. It was just the journey going. They reached the plains of Tabuk. The enemy had not come. So it was a journey going, a journey returning. On that journey, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said these words. He said, ما سرتم مسيرا ولا قطعتم واديا. He said, verily in Medina Munawwara are such people. Whatever amount of area we are crossing, whatever valley we are going in, whatever area we are going above, in every step of ours they are with us. So a Sahabi radiallahu anh said, oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they are not with us, how can they be with us? He said, they are with you in reward. They are with you in reward. حَبَسَهُمُ الْعُذْرُ. It was an excuse, it was a barrier that stopped them coming with us. But Almighty Allah saw that their heart wanted to be with the Muslims. حَبَسَهُمُ الْعُذْرُ. A barrier stopped them. He said, on every step of yours, they with you. If in that era it could have been given, it is not far from the kindness of Almighty Allah that He continues giving. Have that feeling when you see someone going for Hajj. Even if we have made Hajj or we have not made Hajj, have that feeling and you will see miracles taking place. A few other points regarding this journey. Many a person feels and he thinks about it, it's too expensive. And every year it's not getting cheaper. And we are not happy that it's being made more and more. But if the time comes to spend, understand that you are spending only for Almighty Allah. So if it's 100,000 that has to go for that Hajj, you have not made your first Hajj. It's worth every cent. In the narrations, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made indication, you will find everything back here. You will find it back there in that world. Not one cent of yours will be taken and it won't be given back to you. Regarding the year after, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Aisha radiallahu anha, إِنَّ لَكِ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ ala qadri nasabik wa nafaqatik, that the reward you will find of your hajj will be according to the amount that you had to exert yourself and according to the amount you had to spend for the hajj. He said, the reward that you will find for the hajj will be according to the amount you had to spend for the hajj. We do not ask that hajj goes more and more expensive, but when that man is going to spend that amount, then so much you understand that I will find by my Allah a hajj which was worth that amount. For every cent it will be looked at. Anas radiallahu anhu said, An-nafaqatu fil hajj kan-nafaqa fi sabilillah. Relating from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, just like how you put one cent in the path of Allah when you're going in jihad, when you're going in the path of Allah, and you know that my Allah will reward me, الدِّرْهَمُ بِسَبْعِ مِيَةٍ, that for every one dirham, 700 dirhams reward will be given. He said, similarly, whatever you spend for the hajj, you will get that exact reward also. On every one, 700, if you had to hit 100,000, perhaps this will be the only time in your life where you can say, for my Allah, I spent 700,000 one shot. As for this world, what you will get back, Jabir radiallahu anhu narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا أَعْمَرَ حَاجٌ قَتُّ, that a person who has gone for hajj, he will not see poverty coming in his life. Allah tawarakallah will bring it back somehow. May Allah tawarakallah put this desire that every one of us make a hajj. May Allah tawarakallah make it possible. After hajj we follow with umrah. Again after umrah we follow with hajj. As Allah tawarakallah creates the facility, the ability. And if barriers do come, our mind mustn't get turned off. Every year when the thoughts of hajj come, at least let the mind connect. I would have also wanted to go. How far I can walk, I will walk. And then if they say, no, not allowed. But at least I will say, oh Allah, how I wanted to come and see you. Almighty Allah sees the desire of a person. On desire, a lot of things happen. I will end with narrating one unique incident that happened on the hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is an incident that is encompassing of the many rewards, of the many ahadith, of what a man will get when he goes for hajj. It is mentioning for those people who are going to be going for hajj. It is to create a desire in those people who one day will go for hajj, or in the person who never thought, I need to go for hajj. May Allah tabarakallah let us listen to this here, enjoy this hadith as though we are hearing it directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think about every point as we are going through this hadith, and while listening to it, put a desire in us, make an intention, a dua. Oh Allah, let me also be on those planes one day. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu narrates, he says, I was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid of Mina. A Sahabi Ansari and a man from Thaqif came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They both made salam. Then they said, oh Allah's Nabi, we have come with a question. Understand this condition. It was Mina. What a place. It was Hajj. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you wish, you can ask your question, I'll give you the answer. That's normal. He said, if you wish, I will mention to you your question. If you wish, I will mention to you your question. So for them it was like a unique thing, like that our question, you're going to tell us the question. So each one looked at the other and they said, oh Allah's Nabi, you tell us, what's our question? So you can understand that even the question is coming from the heavens. Yeah. Even the question came. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you came to me to ask me, number one, that from the time you left your house for hajj, intending nothing but the house of Allah, what are you really going to get for it? So much was spent. Then you came to ask me that after you made your tawaf, you made two rakats. What are you going to get for the two rakats? Then you made Safa Marwa. What are you going to get for that? Then you stood on the plains of Arafah. What are you going to get for that? Then you pelted the Jamara, what are you going to get for that? Then you had your animal slaughtered, what are you going to get for that? So each one looked at the other and the one said, on the Qasam, on the oath of that Allah who sent you with the truth, this is exactly what we came to ask, meaning even the word, we were going to use the same word. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, remember, إِذَا خَرَجْتَ مِن بَيْتِكَ تَأُمُّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ, as soon as you leave your house,
every step of your camel. It will not place its leg down, it will not lift it. On every step of your animal, Allah will be writing for you one reward. Meaning the amount of kilos that you will have to pass, the amount of petrol that will go, the amount of fuel that will have to go, that amount you have to pay for your ticket. Every step of yours, every move of a wheel, every move of an engine, everything will be recorded. For everything, one reward will be letter written for you, and one error of yours will be forgiven. Then you will make two rakats after your tawaf. You will get the reward as though you found a slave from the progeny of Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, and you set that slave free. Then you went between Safa and Marwa. Allah will give you the reward as though you set 70 slaves free. Then you went to the plains of Arafah. He says, remember on Arafah, Almighty Allah, yahbitu ila samai dunya, brings his extreme attention so close to you, fayubahi bikumul malaika, and starts boasting regarding you to the angels. Almighty Allah says to the angels, ibadi, these are really my servants. Ja'uni shu'than ghubran, look how dirty they are. Look how tired they are, disheveled they are, dusty they are. How far away they have come to me, min kulli fajjin amik, yarjuna jannati, with one desire for paradise. Then Almighty Allah announces to those people, tells the angels regarding those people, falau kanat zunubuhum, that oh my angels, even if the sins of these people are equal, ka adadi ramli, to the sand that is on earth, aw ka qataril matari, or to the rain that falls, or to the foams of the ocean, I will forgive every single son of this. And then it is said to the people, Afidu ibadi, O my servants, go from here. I have forgiven everything of you. Waliman shafa'atum lahu. And I am also going to forgive whoever you will ask me to forgive. This is a point for me and you not going for Hajj. Tell that Haji, if you can just put my name in your book. So just before leaving Arafah, open that book. Because now your du'as, you're already tired. And just say one thing, oh Allah, whatever du'as I made, and whatever forgiveness is coming to me, also for this person. Because this is وَلِمَنْ شَفَعْتُمْ لَهُ, and for whoever you will seek forgiveness. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then you went and pelted the jamara. For every stone that you threw at the jamara, one major sin which would have destroyed your life has been forgiven. Then you had an animal slaughtered, فَهُوَ مَدْخُورٌ لَكَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ, that is stored by your Allah waiting for you one day. Then you had your hair cut, for every blade, for every hair that fell, one reward has been written and one sin has been forgiven. And then the hadith entered in this most unique way, وَأَمَّا تَوَافُكَ بِالْبَيْتِ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ, now that man went for his tawafu ziyara, فَإِنَّكَ تَتُوفُ وَلَا ذَنْبَ لَكَ, you made that tawaf in the condition that there was not a single sin upon you. يَأْتِي مَلَكٌ, an angel came, حَتَّى يَضَعَ يَدَيْهِ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْكَ, and the angel placed his hand in between your shoulders on your bosom, and the angel said, اعمل فيما تستقبل, O servant of Allah, look towards the future. Go and now practice for the future. فَقَدْ غُفِرَ لَكَ مَا مَضَى, because whatever has passed in your life has been forgiven. Unique is this narration, unique is the fadilat of Hajj. May Allah tabarakallah bless us all, that Hajj comes in our taqdeer also. The doors of Hajj open up for all. Hajj is not for the rich. Hajj is not for the poor. Hajj is for the one who looks towards Almighty Allah. And he says, oh Allah, allow. And he starts making an effort. مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, for the one who can somehow manage to get onto the path. May Allah tabarakala make us all come onto the path.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voices of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
حسین ستارہ ابو ہریرہ, نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرہ,
حسین ستارہ ابو ہریرہ, نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرہ,
حسین
sitara Abu Huraira Nabi ka pyara Abu Huraira Hadees-e-Nabvi ke noor-e-maqza ka chokidara Abu Huraira Haseen sitara Abu Huraira Nabi ka pyara Abu Huraira
حدیث نبوی کے بعد کی تو نے ایسی کی کچھ ہے پہرداری حدیث نبوی کے بعد کی تو نے ایسی کی کچھ ہے پہرداری
کہ آل ابلیس کو نہیں تم کبھی گوارا ابو ہریرا حسین ستارا ابو ہریرا نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرا حسین ستارا ابو ہریرا نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرا حدیث نبوی کے نور مخزن چوکیدارا ابو ہریرا حسین ستارا ابو ہریرا نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرا
لسان نبوی سے جھڑتے پھولوں کو چن کے امت کو پہنچایا لسان نبوی سے جھڑتے پھولوں کو چن کے امت کو پہنچایا
نہیں کیا اس میں لحظ بھر کو خلل گوارا ابو ہریرا حسین ستارا ابو ہریرا نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرا حسین ستارا ابو ہریرا نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرا حدیث نبوی کے نور مخزن چوکیدارا ابو ہریرا حسین ستارا ابو ہریرا نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرا
حدیث نبوی کی درسگاہوں میں مستند ہے سند تمہاری حدیث نبوی کی درسگاہوں میں مستند ہے سند تمہاری
لسان نبوی سے عشق و الفت کا استعارہ ابو ہریرا حسین ستارا ابو ہریرا نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرا حسین ستارا ابو ہریرا نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرا حدیث نبوی کے نور مخزن چوکیدارا ابو ہریرا حسین ستارا ابو ہریرا نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرا
حدیث نبوی کا ایسا راوی کہ عشق احمد ہے جس پہ حاوی حدیث نبوی کا ایسا راوی کہ عشق احمد ہے جس پہ حاوی
حدیث کی ہر کتاب میں ہے چمک کا تارا ابو ہریرا حسین ستارا ابو ہریرا نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرا حسین ستارا ابو ہریرا نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرا حدیث نبوی کے نور مخزن چوکیدارا ابو ہریرا حسین ستارا ابو ہریرا نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرا
نبی کے دشمن کی یاد رکھنا ابو ہریرہ سے دشمنی ہے نبی کے دشمن کی یاد رکھنا ابو ہریرہ سے دشمنی ہے
نبی خاتم کے دشمنوں سے ہے ایک شرارا ابو ہریرہ حسین ستارہ ابو ہریرہ نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرہ حسین ستارہ ابو ہریرہ نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرہ حدیث نبوی کے نور مخزن کا چوکیدارا ابو ہریرہ حسین ستارہ ابو ہریرہ نبی کا پیارا ابو ہریرہ
ابو ہریرہ سے جلنے والے تیرے جلن کی وجوہ
انڈیپینڈنٹ اینڈ ٹرو ٹو یو دس از مرکز صحابہ نیوز
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your news for the hour. The date today is the 21st of Dhul Qadah 1446, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 20th of May 2025. As discussions between Trump and Ramaphosa take place in Washington, international relations expert Professor Dr. Oscar van Heerden requested for the photographic evidence of the white genocide in South Africa as there is in Gaza. These statements were on 7:02 this particular morning. It was said further that Dr. Oscar van Heerden had mentioned these sentiments.
Everyone knows, everyone, including President Trump, by the way, everyone knows that the white genocide phenomenon is just lies. That's easy to dispel. Very easy. There's no images to suggest so. In this day and age with smart phones and technology, we see very, very bad images coming out of Gaza. The killing of women and children, devastation, displacement. It's for all to see. None of those things have been seen about South Africa. Mm.
The UK owes its lenders currently...
The UK, France and Canada issued a stern warning to the rogue regime Israel, calling for an immediate cessation of military operations in Gaza and the lifting of restrictions on humanitarian aid or face further concrete actions. UN Humanitarian Chief Tom Fletcher, speaking on BBC Radio's For Today's program, said, five trucks of aid went into Gaza, but repeats there is just a drop in the ocean. 14,000 babies, he said, will die in the next 48 hours if supplies do not reach them. This was your news for the hour. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
فَلَسْتُمْ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. Whose fatwa is this? This is not AK's fatwa or AK-47's fatwa. This is the fatwa direct from Imam Zainul Abideen. فَلَسْتُمْ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. You don't belong to this ummah.
Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
مَا رَدَّتُ يَا رَبَّ الْعِبَادِ.